In recent days, the population of our planet passed the 7 billion mark. Of these 7 billion people, over half already live in cities. And by 2050, 75% of mankind will make their homes in cities. Cities have a major role to play in our world's future. To do this, they will need all kinds of answers. And in order to be effective tomorrow, these answers need to be given today. Answers for the energy that powers our cities. Answers for the buildings that form our cities. And answers for ways of keeping our cities moving. Munich will be the first major city powered entirely by renewables. Seville cools its homes with the strength of the Spanish sun. Berlin is cutting energy costs of its old renovated buildings by 5 million euros. New York is setting new standards in green skyscrapers. In London, 1 million people commute into the city every day. Bangkok's public transport system is prepared for more than 15 million visitors a year. Very different cities, united by one challenge: to find answers that last for a world that lasts. Siemens.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Siemens press conference on the occasion of the presentation of the financial figures for the fourth quarter for the fiscal year 2011. This morning at 7 o'clock, the press documentation was released and sent off electronically. The press conference will be transmitted on the internet. And I have to ask you, as always, to turn off your mobile phones or mute them during the press conference. And to the photographers, I would ask you not to use a flashlight during the conference. For the colleagues who would like to listen to the translation, we are providing the English translation on channel 10, or on channel 11 in English, and in German on channel 10. Peter Löscher will report on the past fiscal year, and after his statement, Mr. Käser, our CFO, and he will be available for questions.
Meine Damen und Herren, auch von meiner Seite herzlich.
Thank you very much, Mr. Heimbach. Thank you very much. And a warm welcome from my side to this press conference. 2011 was an excellent year for Siemens. It was a year in which net income rose 55% to 6.3 billion euros, and income from continuing operations reached an outstanding level of 7 billion euros. And it was a year in which we achieved many great successes. For example, new order volume in Germany soared 62%, which is very gratifying. This not only demonstrates how strong Siemens is in its home country, but also how competitive German industry is in general. In 2011, we won our largest order ever in Russia. And one last example, in the emerging countries, our growth was especially strong. Revenue increased 12% and new orders jumped 18%. Overall, emerging countries now already account for 33% of our total revenue. At the same time, 2011 was a year of unusually extreme peaks and valleys in the macroeconomic environment, especially in recent weeks. A true roller coaster ride in the Eurozone, sometimes within the space of an hour. A debt situation in the USA that does not bode well for an upturn in the near future. And an accelerated shift of economic weight towards the emerging countries, first the BRIC countries and the Middle East, and then the so-called second wave countries. For example, Turkey, Mexico, Indonesia, Vietnam, and others. Having been founded in the 19th century, Siemens can draw from a wealth of experience in dealing with challenging situations of all kinds. Second, Siemens, as a leading real economy company, has the advantage of indisputable financial independence, soundness, and strength. Siemens is a safe bank, and not only in the figurative sense. Third, Siemens has the advantage of a strong and balanced portfolio and greater customer proximity through its new four-sector setup. And our perhaps greatest advantage is the breadth of our setup. In practically every emerging country, we have grown deep roots over decades. These are all reasons why Siemens stands for consistency and confidence, even in turbulent times. The strength is unique, and Siemens employees all over the world, on all levels of the organization, deserve credit for that. I am proud of their performance and would like to take this opportunity to express my gratitude to all of them. We are well prepared to expand our innovation power and basis for future growth in today's turbulent macroeconomic environment. We have achieved our targets we set for 2011. With over 9 billion euros, we were able to break the total sector's profit record for the third time in a row. We were able to boost revenue by 7%, which is more than double of the world economy, and new orders rose by 16%. Our growth again by far exceeded that of the global economy. And this is an excellent performance. In spite of one-time charges, we were able to boost income from continuing operations to 7 billion euros, that's 65% more than last year. And earnings per share soared to 7.04 euros this year from 4.49 euros last year. Based on these results, the Managing Board and the Supervisory Board propose a dividend of 3 euros to the annual shareholders' meeting. That's an 11% increase and a dividend payout ratio of 41%, which is right in the middle of the 30 to 50% corridor we have defined. So again, it's true, an investment in Siemens is safe, reliable, and attractive. And in these times in particular, this is a strong message that cannot necessarily be taken for granted. Some brief comments on the individual sectors. Our industry and energy sectors delivered an especially strong performance this year. Both were able to grow new orders at a double-digit rate. The industry sector increased earnings by 36% to 3.6 billion euros. New order volume of the sector is 24% higher than last year's and amounts to about 37.6 billion euros. The ICX order from Deutsche Bahn makes up a large share of this. It's the biggest order in the history of our company. However, the division's Industry Automation and Drive Technologies also had an extremely strong year and so contributed significantly to the success of the sector. In both divisions, revenue and new orders grew at a double-digit rate. Both are also very profitable. As far as Osram AG is concerned, preparations for an initial public offering at a later time continue as before. The energy sector significantly increased new order volume as well by 15% to about 34.8 billion euros. The again high earnings level of the sector at 4.1 billion euros results largely from the excellent year of our fossil power generation division. An excellent example for the sector's success is the Ras Asar power plant project in Saudi Arabia. The order is worth more than $1 billion. As far as renewable energy is concerned, our expectations have not yet been met in the area of solar thermal power because regulatory conditions have deteriorated and projects have been delayed. In the fourth quarter, we wrote off 231 million euros. However, the progress being made in the first Desertec projects shows this market does have a future. This year, our wind business won its first order for an offshore wind park in China. This is a milestone in our entry into the world's largest wind energy market. In the previous quarter alone, we were able to book two further orders worth a total of nearly 1 billion euro for offshore wind parks off the coast of Germany. With Fukushima and the fundamental change in energy policy it triggered in Germany, the year 2011 reset the parameters for the energy industry. This is a special challenge for us as a leading provider of technologies for fossil-based power generation, renewable energy, power grids, and of energy-efficient technologies of all kinds. Our technology competence and our environmental portfolio open up excellent opportunities for us. At the same time, the changes to the energy infrastructure aimed for by Germany require systematic monitoring and a high degree of circumspection in dealing with existing value chains and competitor constellations in the broader international context. Let's turn to the healthcare sector. Here the picture is mixed. The strength of the imaging business, which has been able to maintain its leading market position, contrasts sharply with the operational challenges at the diagnostic business. In the pioneering area of particle therapy, we came to the conclusion that the time is not yet ripe for the broad commercial deployment of this highly innovative technology. Healthcare has launched an initiative called Agenda 2013 to boost its innovation power and its competitiveness in a market replete with both challenges and opportunities. Among other things, the program calls for selectively sharpening the sector's particle therapy portfolio. It's likely that in the coming 2 years, workforce adjustments will have to be made in this unit, but in any case, we will be able to offer replacement jobs to the employees affected by this adjustment. Our continuing operations now employ a total of roughly 360,000 people worldwide. That's about 24,000 more than in the previous year and an increase of 6,000 jobs in Germany alone. Where do we go from here in 2012? The macroeconomic environment continues to be highly volatile and difficult to assess. Over the past months, the forecasts of experts have become more and more cautious. However, even the most recent forecasts call for a global GDP growth of 3%. In other words, growth roughly at last year's level. On this chart, you see the source we always use, IHS Global Insight, from October this year. It's clear that the global economy is moving at two speeds. The growth forecast for industrial countries is at 1.4% for 2012. The growth forecast for emerging countries is four times as high. It's 5.6% and even higher for the BRIC countries with 6.8%. Although capacity utilization is high, we currently see first signs of a slowdown, albeit at a high level, at customers of our short-cycle businesses, and must realistically expect growth to level off after the gratifyingly vigorous upswing over the past 1.5 years. Yet it is equally clear that we are also benefiting from the dynamic growth in emerging countries. There are many places in the world, from Istanbul to the metropolises of Asia and Latin America, where the daily news is not dominated by crisis summits and emergency measures, but by growing self-confidence, by successes, and by rising expectations. And all these places are home to Siemens customers and to Siemens. Our growth rates there are above average. Against this backdrop, Siemens will continue to grow faster than the global economy as a whole. For fiscal 2012, we expect revenue to grow moderately and new order volume to remain significantly higher than revenue. We are aiming for income from continuing operations that matches the previous year's level, however, without the positive effect of the net gain of 1 billion euros from Areva. In addition, we will use 2012 to further expand our innovation and growth basis for the years ahead. For example, by again increasing our R&D spending by another 500 million euros. Or, to give you yet another example, we will launch our investment program in Russia that calls for investing 1 billion euros in Russia over the next 3 years and for doubling our workforce in this strategic Siemens market. You're familiar with our medium-term target, surpassing the 100 billion euro mark. Our sights are firmly set on this target. Based on its own strategic planning, the largest share of the revenue increase, 45%, will come from our energy sector. However, all other sectors are on a growth course as well. Our record level order backlog of 96 billion euros is a solid foundation for future growth. And our environmental portfolio and the growth of our business in emerging countries are key growth drivers. Our green portfolio with revenue of 29.9 billion euros in the fiscal year just ended was again one of the pillars of our business. Demand for energy-efficient infrastructures and technologies that preserve resources is high and will remain high in view of the increasing world population. Just a few days ago, the 7 billionth human being was born. Technologies that simultaneously cope with population growth and protect our environment and climate have enormous potential. Siemens provides these technologies, and the further expansion of this part of our portfolio is a top priority for us. We expect further growth momentum in emerging countries. We have consistently expanded our business over recent years and are ahead of our competitors in key segments. The figures for fiscal 2011 confirm that yet again. For example, new orders in the Asia-Pacific region climbed 25%. In the Middle East, they shot up 31%. Overall, we already generate one-third of our revenue and new orders in the emerging countries, and 27% of our workforce is employed there. Offering products that meet specific local requirements is key to further developing our business in these markets. Our so-called smart products for the middle and lower price segment. This past fiscal year, we were able to significantly increase the number of smart products, which are usually developed and manufactured in emerging countries, and we will systematically expand this part of our portfolio. Ladies and gentlemen, let me summarize in a nutshell. An excellent year lies behind us. We will remain on a growth course in 2012. In a volatile environment, Siemens stands for confidence and sustainable, capital-efficient growth. Siemens is an excellent choice for customers and shareholders, especially in these trying times. This is confirmed yet again. Our portfolio, our innovation power, our balanced global footprint are key to driving growth and to topping the 100 billion euro mark.
Thank you very much, Mr. Löscher. I would now invite your questions, and I would ask you to wait until you're handed a microphone. And in case we run out of time, I might also collect some questions. Now, we'll start with Mr. Weiss. And maybe you can leave your hands raised so I can take notes of who wants to ask questions. Thank you very much. Mr. Weiss. Good morning. One question about the impact on the business cycle, which is going down a bit at the moment. In which business fields do you see an influence by the drop in the economic cycle? And help me with one interpretation. When I look at your dividend proposal of 3 euros, then are you deliberately leaving a little leeway for possible opportunities for acquisitions? Mr. Weiss, generally speaking, and the year and the quarter are showing this, of course, the short cycle business will be affected. And, of course, the growth rates, as we've experienced in recent years, we had a strong 18-month upswing that will, of course, level out. now the industry automation business or the motion control business within drive technologies, in those areas, the growth rates will adapt or to the environment which we are expecting. In addition to that, we are seeing an environment in Europe which is growing or geared to growth. I gave you the 33% figure in terms of new orders in Germany. In core markets in Europe, we see continuing growth coming. But the southern part of Europe will probably be affected by the political situation and the development we see happening there. But for Siemens, this is approximately a 5% effect. And of course, we benefit from the good and strong position we have globally for our business. And the second part, over to you. Yes, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the press conference. Now, the dividend proposal of €3 means, first of all, a double-digit increase compared with the level of 2010, which was also an increase on the previous year. We have two things in mind with this policy. As part of the, we want to be part of the One Siemens concept, which was initiated last year, and we committed to 30 to 50% of the profit paid out as dividend. This year it will be 41%. The second target is continuity in our dividend policy. So we want to have a balanced approach, and of course, when you make a proposal for 1 year, you always look at the expectations for the coming year, which is why we believe that €3 is an appropriate figure. The next one is Mr. Höppner and then Mr. Nikiforos. Mr. Höppner, third row. Good morning. I have a question regarding acquisitions. With a 100 million or billion target, what would be organic growth, or are you thinking of acquisitions after Soleil and other things seem to have downsides? And also with Med, how many jobs are affected, restructuring costs or investments? Can you give us some figures on that? And the third question, can you give us a figure on investment or stimulus packages and their effect? Mr. Höppner, when you look at the 100 billion figure, these are targets, or this is a target. Now, what did we do in the past? Look at our growth in revenue in the core areas, which is Siemens today, between 2003 and today. When you look at that, we've grown by about 8% in that period. And that was half attributable to organic and half to acquisitions. In the plans ahead, of course, we are reflecting Siemens' strategy. We clearly base our strategy on organic growth, but it is possible that acquisitions are a possibility. But the predominant part is clearly focused on a strategy we've had really from the start, a focus on organic growth, that is, and maybe some supplementary acquisitions. Of course, the environment is favorable for us. We did not make any high-priced acquisitions, as some of our competitors did, and we believe that the environment we see ahead of us in the development of the PE multiples, this is going into a direction where there might be some opportunities in the future. Well, one you saw this morning, this is the area of industrial software development, where we have a leading position worldwide. It is a smaller operation, but you see there's a clear target. It was a technology-oriented acquisition where we very deliberately looked at composite materials and the importance of the application of industrial software for that area. And meanwhile, with this smaller acquisition, we have an excellent innovative market position, or we've gained such a position. So this is a market where we see massive growth potential in the future. So for us, this is a very important technology-oriented step in our acquisition portfolio. Concerning MED, the impact will be a medium-range three-digit figure. That was said already, and I would like to add to that that in Germany we have 3,500 open positions. These are all highly qualified staff, and for each of those employees we will offer, or for each we will offer jobs. We have excellent experience with the program. You know, our program we launched together with the Metalworking Union, where the agreement we concluded with them, also for Siemens, we will apply that. The other area, maybe one remark regarding the laboratory diagnostics, not just radiation therapy, but laboratory diagnostics. Here, the growth that we've seen in the most recent quarters will probably continue to develop as previously. A new product generation would bring changes there, but the environment in which we're operating, we are taking certain measures, we're improving our cost position, and we are implementing productivity-raising measures. Not to forget, this is not a restructuring program. The core of the healthcare business is market leadership with top margins, but we have a very consistent approach there, and this is exactly our focus in the team around Professor Reckwart with the Agenda 2013. So this program will run over the next 2 years. It is a focused, competitive program, including the measure that additionally more money will be made available for R&D in a focused portfolio.
What about stimulus packages, Mr. Kayser? Well, at times of the financial crisis 2008, many stimulus packages had been promised, but only a small fraction of these programs had been implemented, and the economy recovered all on its own. In 2008, we expected benefit in the order of 10% from the stimulus packages, and we have achieved this share as far as I know, but the great number of announced stimulus packages has lagged behind expectations. Mr. Nikiforou, and after him Chris Bryant. You have commented on emerging countries and Russia, and for me it's interesting to know how you see the role of emerging countries in as a growth engine for the global economy, and what is your view of the investment climate in Russia? Siemens has a unique position. We've been in Russia since 1853. One of the Siemens brothers had already defined Russia as one important market for Siemens. We've present in the Russian market for more than 100 years. We firmly believe in growth potential in Russia, and we believe in the modernization program and the infrastructure investment program in Russia. And the rail business alone, we have already achieved major contracts, and another aspect regards energy efficiency, grid technology, and fossil energy technology. All these are important growth markets for us. I'm absolutely confident with regard to the investment climate in Russia. We plan the largest investment program in the Russian history with 1 billion euros, and this is a clear message, and we expect to double the number of employees in Russia. So this is a very important market for Siemens, and we not only expect to have a great future ahead of us, we systematically develop our partnerships, we strengthen our localization initiatives, we implement engineering centers and build engineering centers in Skopjeville. We have we are the first non-Russian company to launch a research and development program in the city. So there are many components which show how confident Siemens is with regard not only to today's business climate in Russia, but also with regard to the future development of Russia. And Siemens wants to remain a trustworthy partner. Chris Bryant, please. After him.
I have three questions. The first one is, sales will grow next year, but not your profits. Why not? And when we look at Southern Europe, only 5%, but I'm sure you're planning for possible volatility, possibly even Greece leaving the euro area. And looking at your customers, banks, hedging strategies, currencies, what plan changes, or how will you change your plans? And thirdly, when the economic cycle slows down in the next years, which is to be expected, maybe not as much in the emerging countries, but you said that the smart products, those products for customers with less money, are important, you said. Now, in the long run, can the German industry stay successful if it concentrates on the premium segment, or will German industry develop more cheaper products? Well, the answer is clear. In our core product lines, you have to do both. You have to be innovation leader. This is something, this is the foundation, and this is also reflected in our 2012 program. Here in our planning, we have the clear element that we not only stepped up R&D, but we're doing something similar also next year. So there's a clear target to strengthen the innovative power of Siemens. But you have to stay relevant in these markets also for a broader market. So both initiatives, which run in parallel, are important. Of course, in the high-quality, high-price segments, which in these countries are niche markets, after all, we are very well represented there. But in parallel, we have to and want to be present also in the medium price segment across all our product lines. And there are excellent examples. For example, the healthcare business has done this for many years, and industrial automation in China, for example, they have an excellent, or from China, they have developed an excellent position in the market. And there's a focused initiative that engineering capacities and manufacturing and development capacities for those products are enhanced in these countries. And beyond those countries, regional market segments will be opened up. So these things exist not only in threshold countries or in emerging countries, but also in highly developed markets. Siemens wants to have a broad customer offering. Siemens should always be Siemens for our customers. And we don't want them to buy from other competitors of ours. No, this is a strategy that we've been successful with and which we will continue in 2012. And you see that the sales activities will also be expanded. This is to the tune of about 0.6 or 0.7, 700,000 euros, in other words. So R&D, 04, 05, almost 1 billion will be spent, or we're planning to spend in 2012, which reflects a slowing down of the overall environment and a flattening of the curve while in a volatile environment, but Siemens still programmed for growth and sustainable development. And maybe I can take the question why the net income isn't growing while revenue is growing. Now, this means we expect a moderate growth in revenue. Of course, in the market, you have to struggle with adversities. Next year, the environment or the price decline will slow down, but the markets are still very competitive. This is something we will have to struggle with. I think this trend will be between 2.5 and 2.8% of revenue or sales. And in addition to that, we will align our companies so that the medium-term growth plans are supported. This means that in 2012, we will have 1 to 1.3 billion euro invested into the regional application of products and also R&D and sales, and up to 400 million, 3 to 500 million will be spent on assets, for example, as Mr. Löscher said, Russia and other hopeful markets into a property, plant and investment. So in our forecast for 2010, given the environment, the business environment, the operational result for 2011 will be along those lines. It will be approximately the same. Now, you said the whole world is in turmoil. There's the financial crisis, the debt crisis. How do we adapt to that? Now, ladies and gentlemen, it would be rather late if Siemens would start preparing for this now, because we're in the middle of that turbulence. You may remember that as early as 2007, we shifted our pension funding from government to corporate bonds. So that was a change there. Last year, a bank license was applied for, not because we don't trust the banks, that's not true, but because we could recognize that the banks would have to adjust to regulatory changes and increase their equity, which means that, of course, when it comes to granting new loans, the parameters are different. We depend on being able to support our customers and provide support in infrastructure products. These have been important elements to prepare for those turbulences. And I'd like to add that on a personal note, as I see things, the current financial crisis, if you want to call it that, was not caused by the banks, but rather by the governments, because for many years they spent more money than they obtained in terms of revenue. So today we're faced with the consequences of that policy. So I think in the public debate you have to be fair when you blame the banks. Now, lending money to governments is one of the most boring businesses in the world, and it brings the banks to the limits of their operational flexibility. And, of course, this is not something that can just be accepted by Siemens. So we decided to also engage in the banking business for some of our solutions, to support our solutions and our strategy. And I think we've done quite well there. Mr. Löscher mentioned about the global program. Now, to strengthen markets, to be able to address promising markets, the local content, and local content is an important focus. And this is what we're doing also by supporting our R&D and sales and marketing cost increases for 2012. Thank you very much.
Mr. Lacour, and after him, Mr. Stahl. Mr. Lacour, please. The GDF Suez Wind Park Consortium, the Suez consortium. If this consortium wins a contract, you will have to deliver. Can you confirm that? And on general basis, with regard to your French partners, it didn't go well with Areva. You found a good solution with SIS, with Atos. What do you expect for the future with regard to partnerships with major players in France? France is the neighboring country of Germany, so what are your expectations and plans? And another question, last year you have announced to pay more than 300 million premiums to your employees, and this year I'm missing an announcement of that kind. Can you tell us about the situation? And because you're paying dividend, you will have to fund acquisitions. How much will remain for your liquidity, for cash liquidity? And Mr. Kaiser, analysts often estimate that Siemens has a luxury problem, too much cash on hand and too much liquidity, and a company which doesn't know where to invest the money. Mr. Lucke, I would like to start with a premium of 300 million you mentioned was a one-time premium and unique in Siemens' history. We intentionally paid this premium to our employees as token of our gratitude for their excellent performance, especially during the crisis. And we also have developed our employee share program. We are continuing to do this for 2011. That is to say, our employees do not only benefit from the success of the company by their salaries and wages, but also by the development of the employee shareholder programs. This is another important element, and we are proud to say that one out of three employees of Siemens is also a Siemens shareholder, and the dividend rise by 11% pays off to them as well. It's also a signal and a clear message to our employee shareholders. And we have the broadest employee share program on a worldwide basis, and we are very proud of that. France is a very important market for us, and as you rightfully said, I do not want to dwell on individual projects, but in individual cases, you're doing this on your own. We have a multitude of partnerships with French players. SIS Athos has been mentioned. We have many trustworthy partnerships with French companies. This is a very important market for us, and we want to grow our business together with our partners based on our setup. I would like to comment on our what you call luxury problem. 12.5 billion liquidity is a very convincing fact and can really be a good starting point. And we are aware of the fact that financial analysts have a lot of proposals to make on how to invest this money. And our division heads make their proposals day by day, and we have to fight off many, many peculiar ideas. But if a company has 3.6 billion revenue and 7 billion income, then you have 17 billion in terms of expenses. 12.5 billion is a liquidity need for 2 months, so you have to seize that way. 2 months liquidity need for the company, liquidity demand. And we know that under normal circumstances, we have a surplus liquidity, a clear surplus. And as you know, we have committed ourselves with the One Siemens program to implement a certain level of debt EBIT ratio. But what we experience right now is not yet the balance situation, because we don't see the bottom line for the time being, so we have to be careful and cautious to always remain our operational flexibility. I pass the floor to Herr Stahl, which will be followed by Mr. Flemmig.
Mr. Stahl, over to you. Good morning, Mr. Löscher. Are you concerned about the European debt crisis, especially Italy? Is there also some anger on your part or frustration as entrepreneurs? And the question is, how important is the euro for Siemens? Could you live with a northern euro, as Hans-Olaf Henkel mentioned? Mr. Käse already responded to that. This is not a euro crisis, it's a debt crisis. The euro is extremely important for the European industry. I'd just like to point out that from the start of the euro area, 9 million jobs have been created. This is an important home market. It is an important foundation for us, for the German industry. Our export strength is also based on the fact that we have a big home market. Of course, we have innovative products as well. But I can only warn you not to spread scenarios. It might be possible to have a different constellation, or one could do without the euro. We do not have any speculations in that direction whatsoever. And we are grateful to policymakers that there's a very clear commitment to the euro. So I am very confident that at the end of the day, this will result in a strengthening of euro in the end. Now, the debt crisis and the budgets are one topic, but in the end, the question is how much strength you develop, how strong you emerge from the crisis. The industry will contribute its share here. I said that we have created 24,000 jobs. We are investing into Europe. We are creating jobs. We are creating and contributing our share. Mr. Flämig, then Mr. Voss.
Mr. Flämig, please. Three questions. First, regarding government agencies as customers. Second, economist. Third, your share price. Healthcare growth is also been driven by the fact that government agencies are rather reluctant with investment, and this reluctance will not be limited to Southern Europe, but will turn into worldwide, into a global phenomenon. Which of your divisions will be particularly hit by the fact that government spent less money? Second question concerning growth. You are comparing your growth rates with competitors' growth, and in the last four quarters, competitors outgrew you 10% as compared to 6 point something. Which are the reasons for this? And if you see acquisitions as a major growth driver for competitors, would you be able to show us an adjusted figure to compare organic growth with organic growth of competitors? With regard to the share price, we shouldn't overestimate the importance of a share price. You can really create a lot of humdrum with the share prices. But Siemens still was sometimes outperforming the DAX and sometimes underperforming, but you, there is no major difference with regard to the development of 2007. What is your analysis of the situation? Why does the share market see you this way? What should Siemens improve to be more attractive to the share market? Do you need operational improvements, or is this a matter of presentation? I would like to hear about your analysis. Let me start with the comparison you've been asking for. We have drawn the attention that 9.9 as opposed to 6.6% shows the growth difference with regard to competitors, but the competitors' growth is really driven by acquisitions and by high-price acquisitions, I have to add. If you want to make underlying figures comparable, we are at level with our competitors. So these are really acquisition short-time effects. With regard to the share price, Mr. Flämig, the question is an excellent one, and the answer is rather difficult and complex. Of course, in an ideal situation, it's best to hear from us what we recommend to shareholders and which to share, as to which shares to buy. Of course, share prices are determined by the expectations for the future and are not determined by the operational performance of companies. Liquidity often is a consideration, and you also have a phenomenon if you look into the regional variations. Investors in North America, UK, and Asia are not willing to invest in Europe. This has been shown by the development of our share price. If you remember, end of July, with the announcement of the third quarter results, our share price was around 92, 93, so above 90. And 6 weeks later, when everybody came back from vacations, no company news, the share price had dropped to below 70, despite the fact that we had reached our targets. And this shows you that very often news on the market determine your share price for reasons which have nothing to do with your, the situation of your company. Therefore, it's so important to compare our situation with the competitor situation and less with the political assessments of asset classes. And if you compare us with our top five competitors, in fiscal 2011, we've been number three with regard to our share price, behind two peer players which operate in the anti-cyclical business, industry automation, and so on. And so far, we have performed well compared to competitors, and we compare with the best companies in the world. Of course, you often have exceptions based on restructuring programs or acquisition fantasies, which can lead to a situation where companies overperform in the market or underperform. But in the general view, we can say that that's our target, to follow the One Siemens strategy, this is our operating model. Second, we have to admit that we have to find some solutions for issues we are still facing. And the fact that we highlight the dividend, that is to say the return on the capital, shows that we are on an excellent, solid course. So we, compared to 1.8, 1.7 for governments, we get 3% from Siemens. That is to say that that it's worth considering buying Siemens shares. Mr. Fleming, you mentioned government investments, and you mentioned that our business, of course, is affected by the limiting of government expenditures, especially in the healthcare sector. We have to prepare for a situation where the dynamism of the healthcare business will change, and we will focus on the emerging markets. This is an intentional strategic turn. The Chinese market has become the second important market for our healthcare business. This already is an adaptation to the changing situation. We adapt to the changing growth dynamics. A lot has been written about the new sector and the dependence from government investments. I would like to underscore this by figures. We have always said that this sector tackles a market of like 300 billion euros. One-third of this is government spending, two-thirds is private spending. And in this not easy situation of the recent years, we have provided evidence that we can grow dynamically, because the broad setup of Siemens really is a major advantage which we can use to our benefit. We continue with Mr. Voss, and after him, Ms. Mike.
I have three questions, too. The new orders during the fourth quarter, there was no growth there, and in fact went down a bit in one case with one division. Is that effect, has that become stronger? Is it continuing since September? And in that context, the full capacity utilization of your plants, can you still do that, or are you reducing the members of staff, temporary workers, and after the solar thermal, it's the division is still called solar and hydro, but there was this big write-off. Are there new plans? Does that have to do anything with the strategic plans on energy saving? Let's start with the renewables. You heard that there's now a new CEO for this division, and you see the experience he has. Now what we're seeing there, And getting back to what we said on Mr. Fleming's question, this is a classic area. Now, the new energies have markets only where they are promoted or co-funded. Now, in Spain, a big solar program was cut, renewable energies, subsidies in the United States will run only until late 2012, and after that we don't know what will happen. So at the moment we are faced with a market environment where there's a certain amount of uncertainty involved, but there's no doubt that this is a future market. And we're also seeing CSB to photovoltaics. You see that that ratio has shifted dramatically. So the new head certainly is ambitious enough to present an overall strategy to the Siemens board. And we will, of course, discuss this issue with him intensely. And the order development. Well, in the Solaric, of course, the book value is not zero, as you suggested. Large parts of goodwill and the intangibles were written off, but the book value is backed by real existing assets. And some of the intangibles with the 18 million as well. So this is not a business with a zero value. We just made adjustments, which is also, of course, a result of regulatory effects. As concerns your question, Mr. Voss, whether people are working short time or we're reducing the temporary staff, regarding the capacity utilization has to do with our sales, not our order intake, and new orders remain stable at a higher level. If you look at the new order figures, and they were influenced, of course, by the high dynamics after 2011, which was a peak year. The long-term development of the new order volume is not any reason for concern at all. The capacity utilization of factories in October, especially in businesses, in product businesses like industry automation or engines or motors, that was plenty of reason to cheer about. So there's no reason to think about Plan B strategies. We'll take things as they come, and we will take the orders as customers place them. Right, Ms. Meyer, and then Mr. Nordé.
Thank you very much. I have three questions as well. Löscher, you've said that you have received the largest contract in the company's history in Russia, but still there was a minus. Does that mean that in other markets your order intake has dropped? According to Siemens Networks, in the month of June, when we asked for a new recapitalization measure, Mr. Kayser said, this was too early. Now we saw some new capital being invested in this area, but without having seen any concept. And with regard to Solel, I would like to know the charges in fiscal 11, including operational losses, and maybe you can comment on accumulated losses since you have acquired this business. And with regard to Solar Strategy, Mr. Löscher, you have said that the new head of this division shall develop a new strategy. What are your ideas about these new strategies? Russia is a complex topic. Siemens builds the so-called Sochi trains for the Olympic Winter Games 2014. 54 units at the beginning, and then we want a follow-up contract for 1,200 trains, which is not consolidated. This is not consolidated contract. So the order intake just mirrors the component delivery business. So that's a very easy reason for the things that you mentioned. With regard to the new head of division for solar, we did not predefine any strategies. This is a very interesting activity with short-term challenges and issues, but long-term opportunities. And this division can generate many opportunities for us. So the new head of the division shall develop a comprehensive strategy, including all areas of responsibility, including the hydro business, the solar business as a whole. And I'm confident that he will present us a growth concept, which we will discuss then. Mr. Kaiser, I would like to add that in Russia, in fourth quarter, we had a growth of 78%, an order intake growth of 78%. So this is a very gratifying figure. With regard to NSN, we have made 1 billion of capital available, and with the shareholders we had agreed about some other initiatives to take, including a full-time supervisory board president who will take care of NSN, including the new concepts and the implementation of the new concepts. You know that Jesper Ovensen, who is a very experienced person, has taken up this role, and Nokia Siemens Networks has focused on future-bearing technologies, and we have made some very good progress, and you see that NSN is one of the major players in this area. But by the same token, NSN still has to solve the third part of the task which you have defined with the other shareholders. That is to say, NSN needs to show how they will focus on new opportunities and how this will impact on individual resources. This third aspect still is under work, and as soon as we have reached an agreement, we will communicate this agreement to the workers' representatives, the broader public, and the shareholders. You have seen that in the 2012 forecast, we have highlighted the fact that within the framework of this program, which still remains to be described, there might be an impact on P&L, especially when transformatory measures have to be taken into the books. But the payback, the business benefit, will only be recorded later. Then you've asked about solar and the losses. Unfortunately, this business has changed in the macroeconomic context before it really started, before it really took off. You know that countries who had major plans for solar now have to deal with other challenges. Think about Italy, Spain, or others in this region, in this area. So we had major revenue drops, 20 million per year, and losses above 300 million euros, including all the write-offs we had to do. And we are going to present a new strategy with the new head of the division. I think that with the solar business, you shouldn't have the illusion that you can reach a lot in a short time. We have to wait for the market to develop. We have shared our attention between wind on one hand side and hydro and solar on the other side, and wind energy already has reached an industrial dimension of our business, and you need a global approach. Solar and hydro are technologies which we believe are very important, extremely important, especially solar energy, but these industries have not yet passed the industrial threshold. This is still rather small scale, and costs for photovoltaic modules have substantially changed thanks to an internationalization of competition. And if we talk about the definition of subsidies for renewable energies, you shouldn't forget the front end of innovation. You should not only subsidize the consumer side. If you subsidize the consumer side, then you do not promote the changes on the manufacturer side in with regard to cost-efficient production of solar modules. So I think we should focus on innovation subsidies and subsidies to innovation in the solar sector to make sure that we can bring solar energy costs down to conventional energy production.
Mr. Nordin, Mr. Buss, and Mr. Ngetsi are the last three ones I noted. Have I overlooked anybody? Yes, there. Of course, you will also, I'll enter your name on the list, and then I would close the list of speakers. Mr. Nordin.
And it's a follow-up from one of the previous questions on the energy sector, and I'll give it a try. In fact, what share of your energy sector revenue do you expect renewables and specifically the wind energy to take in the very next years? And second question, if ever Areva places new orders to build EPR nuclear power plants, will you continue to bid for the supply of turbines?
The second one I can answer very clearly, yes. The conventional part, technologies, whether it's steam turbines or transformers, this is a business which will continue to have components which can be used across the board in the energy business. And in the wind business, I would just remark that we are now at 11 billion in terms of new orders and the sales. You've seen the figures. This will be an important growth driver for us, and the dynamism is very clear. It's possible that there might be a slight shift regarding the composition of onshore, but it will continue to be a dynamic growth market. Mr. Busse and then Mr. Vingetzi, that's in the last row. Mr. Busse.
Regarding Osram, you said you will continue with the IPO plans. Do you expect the IPO for 2012, and what happens in the meantime? Who will take care of the necessary investments? Another question regarding Nokia Siemens, does that mean that this business will not be sold in a medium term perspective because it's not possible? And a follow-up question, you already mentioned the charges caused by NSN and healthcare. Can you quantify these charges due to the restructuring, and what are the further charges you expect from NSN? Let me start with Osram. We have made clear that Osram continues to be a very good candidate for standalone business, which will play a major role in the DAX context. We have to admit that we have missed the appropriate point in time in the cycle, because this cycle changed rather quickly, and we will have to take this into account. Osram is competing rather well, is performing well, maybe not with the expectations we had 2 years ago in terms of figures. Osram in the fourth quarter has grown in terms of revenues by 7%. This is a good performance in a cyclically difficult environment, especially if you compare this with the competitors. But short-term expectations and outlooks do not suggest an IPO in the next weeks or months. The cycle concerns the semiconductor business, the LED business of Osram, and we do not see any funding problem, any investment problem, because Osram generates 5-6% profit and can fund its activities. With regard to NSN and healthcare, As in the following situation, the program which we have to discuss with workers' representatives and other players in the company plans for smaller three-digit million cost side. So these are not restructuring measures, but adaptations we have to make through refocusing our business. So if you count around about 300 million plus minus something, this would be close to the actual figure. With regard to NSN, the situation is as follows. Our anticipations for 2012, our forecast expect on a lower range, three-digit million amount, which cannot be supported by concrete measures right now. It's too early, so you shouldn't be too quick with your conclusions. NSN will work on this challenge, and Nokia will also comment on that in the quarterly reporting. Mr. Vigetzi, please.
You have a solid presence in Italy with five plants. Are you worried about the economic situation of the country and the impact on industry? And are you planning some initiative, such as a restructuring plan for your Italian branch?
This is also...
Now, I do not wish to give you any, well, we don't have any plans to restructure plants. And the business in Italy will develop in accordance with the growth in that country. We don't have any special plans here. And in that situation of volatility, we'll see how the specific growth trends in that market will develop and can be realized. Italy, for us, is a market which may not be growing at extremely high rates, but which is a good market for us. The uncertainties which prevail in those markets today and the effects of the financial markets on the real economy in Italy will remain to be seen. So we'll see what happens. At the moment, we don't have any plans and we don't see anything being fundamentally changed. The market is good. It may not be growing at so high a rate, but it is a good market and we've been there for several decades. The next, Ms. Finkenzeller, and then Mr. Weiss.
Und zum Schluss der Herr Bauer.
Thank you very much. One question concerning Ostrom has been answered. I have a follow-up question. You have already mentioned that revenue has grown by 7% in the fourth quarter. Income has stayed behind the expectations. Can you comment on why this was the case? Yes, with a pleasure. This has to do with the fact that the light business contains two elements. We had an enormous price increase in raw materials, especially with rare earths, where we had to face two-digit cost increases, which we could manage and pass on to the markets, but only partly. And within lighting technology, there is the traditional light business and the LED business on the other side. And LEDs, which are highly profitable, have developed less dynamically, have shown less growth than we expected. So the result is a mix. The income results from a mixed effect. Mr. Weiss, please.
Mr. Kess, I'm not sure I got the figure right. Healthcare and NSN burden, is the sum 300 or is there anything added to that? In the past,
you gave us the operating result, and can you give us the same for Q4? And finally, the question to Mr. Löscher, the one Siemens targets, profitability and capital efficiency, you've reached. Growth and leverage, you didn't. Now, how will you catch up where you're not on track? I'll start with one Siemens. Well, we'll see, Mr. Weiss. Now, 1 year is behind us, and the next one is ahead of us. I expressed quite clearly that, of course, if we have an all-in competitor basket and we haven't made any acquisitions, we'll see how the dynamism develops for Siemens and for its competitors. The capital structure goal is certainly something that, that would be easy to attain. But I think Mr. Käser, with his conservative financial policy, cash is king, is not a bad thing at all in this volatile environment. So we did this quite deliberately. Again, Osram, the figures during the fourth quarter, sales 1.3 million, or revenue 1.3 million, 7% above the fourth quarter of last year. The margin or the result, as we reported last time, was at 69 million. For the whole year, this will add up to 5 million revenue and 400 million profit, if the interpreter heard correctly, which is a margin of 8%. So, of course, we have to admit that the first half year was clearly stronger than the second half year. But there's a price pressure on LEDs, and the trends of cost increases in sourcing continue to be high, so there will be no change in the short term. The figures about healthcare, I told you that we are now in the refining stage, but around 300 is an anticipated figure for 2012. This is our guidance figure you can still use. With NSN, I said further that there is no program or anything we can give you in terms of figures, but by way of precaution in the evaluation of our profit prospects for 2012, we believe that we will be in the medium three-digit million range for transformational charges, and the backflow from our savings will not cover that. Mr. Bauer, you have the right of the last question.
Okay. Mr. Käser, Mr. Löscher, one question concerning the one Siemens target catalog. I&C sector is not mentioned. You have an EBITDA margin target across all divisions. Where shall the new sector be positioned with regard to profitability? In your announcement, this new sector was estimated to lie below average. 100 billion energy sector revenue target. No, 40% of the sector for the revenue targets. Will the new sector, i.e. E&C, play a major role, or will it contribute less or the same compared to other sectors? Please, let's do without speculations. I ask you to show some patience until early December, when we'll have a conference call, and then the I&C sector under Mr. Busch's leadership will provide concrete figures. If I might give you a simple answer, well, this will be split between the industrial business, which will be the future core industrial business, plus the businesses under Mr. Busch's leadership in the new I&C sector. Our revenue targets are in line with our long-term strategy and our strategic plans, and we, of course, we have the ambition with the 45%, and I have to say that the new team under Mr. Bush's leadership did not yet have the opportunity to develop a medium-term strategic planning because they have only started their activities as of October 1st. So we will have to discuss this on the board level, but we have shared the figures with you. With regard to EBITDA ranges, of course, the new sector will be below average of the former industry sector, but the capital efficient growth, ROCE, is decisive, and I would not be surprised if the new infrastructure sector would prove to be highly competitive. And so it's important to keep an eye on capital efficiency and not limit yourself on an EBITDA consideration, which include depreciations for capital-intensive investment of the past. So we are quite optimistic, and most of the figures show that we are on the right course, and we will get new figures early December. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're invited to take part in the analyst call, 3 p.m. London time, 4 p.m. Munich time, and we'll meet again at latest the 24th January for the first quarter figures when we prepare the General Assembly. We wish you a good time and hope to see you at a snack and a drink.